This is the Nourishing Amy podcast, and I am your host, Amy Rankin. I'm an emotional intelligence and well-being coach and a mum, and I am here to help you to find your sparkle again. We are going to chat about mindset, mum life, self-development, calling yourself out when you need to because life isn't perfect, right? And basically learning to become a happier version of you. Think of this as your time for you. I'm here to help you understand yourself more, feel less overwhelmed and more self-confident, and to navigate the ups and downs of life. If you're ready for all of that and more, let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to episode 121 of the Nourishing Amy podcast. Today's episode is going to be a little life update for you. I know I mentioned in the last episode that I've had some time off. Things have felt really out of control, I would say, in the last few months. Really busy, really crazy. I felt a little bit crazy for a little while there. Look, it's just been a lot, and I want to talk you through some things that I've really been enjoying, some habits that have been helping me to get back to myself and be feeling really good again. Some podcasts I've been listening to, some books I've been reading, updates on different habits that the kids have, things like, you know, eating, breastfeeding, sleep routines, all that kind of stuff. Basically, all of the questions I get over on my Instagram, I want to go through them with you and, yeah, just do a bit of an update. I also want to talk about my personal experience with postnatal depression. Of course, this is going to be different for everybody, but it's another topic that I have been getting questions about whenever I pop up a question box on my Instagram as well. So I'll dive into what it looked like for me, or also what it currently looks like for me, and how I'm navigating, some different warning signs that I noticed coming up for me, and what eventually led me to actually going and making an appointment with my doctor. So, as you know from my last episode, we have welcomed beautiful little Lila into the world, and it's just been a bit of a ride. So I am actually back at work now. So Lila is 8 months old. I went back to work having my one-on-one clients back in January. So Lila was nearly 6 months old. So she was 5.5 months when I went back. I was quite emotional about it at the end of last year, but I think I'm glad that I made that decision and gave myself about 1.5 or 2 months to really get used to the idea of going back what seemed so soon to me, because I didn't actually go back taking one-on-one clients with Ollie until he was about 9 months old. And so she's at daycare. So both of the kids are at daycare Mondays and Tuesdays, which means that Mondays and Tuesdays a lot of the time during the week, some of my favorite days of the week, because anybody that has kids knows that they are very unpredictable and things can really just hit the fan at a minute's notice. And Mondays and Tuesdays are now my days that I really enjoy. Like, I'm a routine person. I love structure. I love to know what's going on. If you have listened to any of my other podcasts or heard me talking about the certainty driver in our human psychological needs, I very much lean towards that certainty driver, and I definitely lean away from the variety driver. So there's been a lot of challenges with my certainty driver feeling very pushed to its limits and not really met a lot of the time recently, which has meant that I've had to really embrace that variety driver. So my Mondays and Tuesdays, they're my 2 days that I know there's structure. I know there's routine. Like, if a client is booked in at 10 a.m., I know exactly what I'm doing at 10 a.m. I know who I'm talking to. I've got a general idea of what we're going to be talking about. And I just feel like they're my 2 days that I'm like, right, I know what's going to happen on these days. And that feels really good. But also what I've really enjoyed is that also allows me to lean into that variety driver and that variety side of myself on the other days of the week without feeling like it's too much variety. So I feel like I've got a pretty good balance at the moment. I've also been doing some workshops, which I'm absolutely loving. I'm partnered with a few beautiful Pilates studios and gyms on the Central Coast where I live, and I just absolutely love it. I love being able to be back in front of people again now that we're not in lockdowns, and just creating that connection, talking to people about, you know, what lights them up, what they might be struggling with, some mindset changes that we can be bringing in. And of course, lots and lots of admin that I've been doing. I also have been leaning into doing a bit more content creation. So I'm really, really lucky to have a little bit of a following over on Instagram. I would say it's very much in the micro influencer field, but I'm partnered with some really fantastic brands that I am absolutely loving at the moment. I won't partner with anybody that I don't, that doesn't align with me or that I don't actually use myself anyway. So it's kind of a win-win because I'm like, I mean, I'm using your products or services anyway. Yes, I would love to make a reel. I have a very creative side to myself. I used to own an online clothing store and I loved the Photoshop aspect and the creating. Back then on Instagram, it was very much about creating static posts. So I loved doing flat lays and being creative in that way and styling and getting onto Photoshop and, you know, putting text onto my photos and all of that kind of stuff. So I guess content creation is just like an extension of that. It's like my creation has evolved as the technology around us is evolving as well. So that's something that I'm really enjoying. Also, just getting out of the house to do my admin is something that I am finding is really helping me to thrive at the moment. So instead of, like, I don't know about you, but I just feel like when I've got a lot of admin to do and I'm in my office, and you may have seen I did a bit of an office. Oh my gosh, it's pouring rain. It literally just started pouring rain. It's sunny outside and I just hung a load of washing out on the line. Oh, anyway, that's not the point. Back to what I was talking about. I don't know about you, but I get really distracted when I'm working at home. So like I was saying, I did an office refresh and I love my office space. I find that because like all of my work that I do is working from home with my clients and my admin, that I need to have a space that feels really inviting for me. So I did that and I did a big Kmart haul at the start of the year and just reset my office space and I love it. But I do find that because I'm at home, I just get so distracted. I'm like, oh, I'll just quickly pick up the kids' toys, or I'll just quickly vacuum and mop, or I'll just really quickly do this or cook dinner for tonight so it's ready. And I just get so distracted. And I started to notice that when I was on my way home from dropping the kids to daycare, if I had a little bit of a break in between one-on-one clients, I would take myself to a cafe and take my laptop, and I am so productive. I could be there for 2 hours and do a whole entire day's worth of admin that would normally take me a whole day at home. So that's another thing that I've been really enjoying, and something that I think comes under the episode that I was talking about last episode as well, of just being really intentional with the things that I'm doing for myself. Like, to me, getting out of the house, having time for myself and being really productive and getting a lot of work done, that feels really good for me. And so I definitely don't take that for granted. I'm really mindful, and like, I find it a bit of a treat if I'm going to go and order myself a coffee, which is a decaf coffee at the moment. Again, if you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen that I've actually given up caffeine for a little while, and I am feeling amazing. I actually don't know if I'm going to go back to drinking coffee, but I'm going to do a whole nother episode on that, maybe next episode. And I'm going to talk about just ways that we can change our habits, and habits that you might notice that aren't serving you as well as what they used to, and what to do if you want to change them. So yeah, that is me. Some things that I have been really enjoying lately. I am obsessed with TikTok. I'm probably a little bit late on the bandwagon, like, but I love it. I am following some amazing content creators on there, and I don't know. I feel like I learn so much, and like their For You page, their algorithm is just on point. So I'm really, really loving that. I follow a mixture of like lifestyle influencers and videos and like Kmart hauls and mindset stuff and inspirational. I don't know. I just love it. And I've also actually in the last few weeks really gotten back into creating over on TikTok again too. I feel a lot more authentic on TikTok. I don't really know if that explains it. I don't know. I just feel like Instagram for me has always been a place that's been quite curated. And, you know, it was the OG place for like filters and all of that kind of stuff. And I love that curation. I love that creative side of me where I'm like, oh, that would be a really nice photo. Like that's nice aesthetic. But TikTok, I'm like, you know what? If I'm just getting out of bed and I've got no makeup on and I don't feel that great, I am still more than happy to record a video if there's something on my mind. So they're just a bit of a different vibe. So if you don't follow me on TikTok, maybe come and check it out and just see if you maybe prefer that vibe. And some other things I'm enjoying, just getting out and having some fresh air. I'm really feeling like that is so important for my mental health. The differences that I'm noticing with the transition from one to two children, the biggest thing that I'm noticing is I feel like because Ollie and Lila nap most of the time at different times, or they'll overlap a little bit, I used to have what felt like a lot more time on my hands with just one to be able to like get out and go for a walk. Like if Ollie was, I knew, going to have an awake window for like 2.5 hours, I could jump in the car and go for a walk, or pop him in the carrier and go for a walk. And I can't really do that now. Ollie doesn't like this pram anymore, which is fair enough. He's 2.5. So I kind of can't really go for a walk with him. I could maybe go like down the end of the street, but it's not the point of, for me, going for a walk is clearing my headspace and it's my mindset refresh. So that's something that I have found really challenging, because getting out in the fresh air was something that really, really drastically improved my mental health after I had Ollie. And it's something that I am finding a lot more difficult this time around. So even if for me at the moment, it's just like popping our picnic blanket outside on the grass and taking the kids outside, and that's my fresh air for the day, I'm really, really mindful of that and really enjoying that. And I also find the kids, a lot of the time, if they're like having some meltdowns inside, they're a lot happier outside as well. And it's just like change of scenery, get some fresh air, all that kind of stuff. What else am I enjoying? I have the most beautiful group of mum friends, and it's such a mixture of Ollie's original mother's group, my new mother's group, some beautiful women that I've met along the way through those beautiful friendships that I've created as well. And of course, my original friends that have children themselves that I now have a whole brand new appreciation for. I'm loving my mum friends. I'm absolutely loving my girlfriends as well. Again, my original girlfriend group, like I just am feeling so grateful for my friendships that I have in my life at the moment, maybe because I feel like I have been so busy and bogged down with work and the kids that rather than quantity time with my friends, it's quality time. And so I really, again, I feel like this is a running theme, and exactly why I did that podcast episode last week and that topic is I'm just so much more mindful and present and intentional when I'm spending time with my friends, because it does feel so rare at the moment to be able to do that. What are some other things I'm enjoying? Oh, I am doing coaching sessions for myself, and oh my God, it has been absolutely without a doubt the most life-changing thing I've ever done. And I know I said that about coaching sessions like before I had Ollie, but it's probably the first time in the last probably 3 years since I was pregnant with Ollie that I've really prioritized my personal development for myself. That's not doing something like studying or just reading a book, like actually really deep diving into coaching sessions. And it has been so transformational. The things that I have worked through is like stuff that I didn't even know has been just sitting there. So it's just been so interesting. And like, you guys know, I'm so passionate about this stuff anyway. And I love being able to do this with my clients, but to actually be able to prioritize myself and give myself the space to work with a coach to do this too is just the best thing that I could have done for my mental health this year. Something else I'm really enjoying is just having a really, really simple and basic morning routine, but again, being really intentional with it. So I get up. If Lila's already awake, I'll give her a feed and then pop her back down in her cot. And then I will have a shower. I have a really nice body wash that I use, and I give my face a really, really nice cleanse. And then I get out and I do my skincare, and I really love doing my skincare. That's like my self-care for me in the mornings. If I'm feeling like it, I'll pop a podcast on. Maybe I might listen to like The Squiz so that I can update myself with just like news and what's actually been happening in the world. Because a lot of the other podcasts I've been listening to lately are very much like, like pop culture, and just like kind of not nothing podcast, but you know, it's not like information heavy podcast, and I'm really loving it. I think because I'm feeling quite overstimulated and overwhelmed in like general day to day. So my pop culture podcasts are like, let's just switch my brain off and just have some fun and listen to something really lighthearted. So yeah, and that is literally my morning routine. If the kids are still not awake after I've done that, I'll do my workout in the morning. And that's a 28-minute transform workout with FitAz, which I'm still obsessed with. I'll talk about actually being sick in just a minute, and talk about working out and stuff like that and what my healthy habits have looked like. But speaking of podcasts as well, some podcasts I've been listening to that you would have probably already heard me talking about, but just in case you're new here, or you haven't heard me talking about other podcasts that I like to listen to before. So my pop culture-y ones is So Dramatic, Shameless, Outspoken, and Life Uncut. So they're probably my top listen to ones at the moment, just because, like I said, they're just really lighthearted and fun. But I also got really addicted to these two crime podcasts. I was already talking about Teacher's Pet before I had my little podcast hiatus. And I'm so obsessed with that podcast. I just can't get enough of it. But that also led me on to listening to another podcast that is created by The Australian, which is Shandy's Story. And I'm really, really invested in this podcast. I'm probably about 3/4 of the way through. And I just really enjoy like having a bit of a storyline to follow and having my own like opinions or perspectives on what I think happened. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I love it. I kind of pop my earpods in when I am cooking dinner, if it's like a bit noisy or Ollie's got one of his TV shows on that I don't like, I'll pop my AirPods in and just like cook dinner and listen to one of those episodes, or clean the house and listen to that. And I love it. I also really enjoy I Catch Killers with Gary Jubelin. He does some really, really interesting interviews, very much crime related. He is a previous detective in the Australian Federal Police. So super interesting with that. Something else I'm really enjoying is just absolute nothing family time on Sundays. Like Sundays is our day that we try and not book anything in. Saturdays is generally busy-ish because we've got Ollie swimming, and most of the time we'll have something after that. We might go and catch up with a friend or have like, I don't know, an event or like a birthday party or something on. Sundays we try to keep free, and we just are really enjoying at the moment like getting up, going down to the waterfront and like grabbing a coffee or a hot chocolate, getting an egg and bacon roll for breakfast. Ollie takes his bike down and we just get out of the house. Again, I think it's just that fresh air. And then we're just like, okay, what do we want to do? Am I going to be doing like the meal planning and meal prepping? Do I do a click and collect order? Like, do we have a little picnic this afternoon? Just very chill and quality time with the kids. And I'm loving it. The very last thing that I'm really, really enjoying and that I've really gotten back into and I'm totally obsessed with is reading. And I have a books highlight over on my Instagram. So I actually won't go into too much detail the books that I've been reading recently that I've been really, really loving, because it's all over on that highlight and it'll take me forever. I think I'm up to book like 25 for this year already, and it's only March. So yeah, I just have found that I'm watching less and less TV because I'm really intrigued in the stories that I'm reading and the books that I'm reading. I'm very much a fiction girl. So all of the like not true stories, the like chick lit, the like kind of romance. I've recently gotten into the thriller side of things. Actually, one that I will mention is Verity by Colleen Hoover. If you have not read that, I mean, I'm guessing you probably have because it's been everywhere for the last like 2 years. But again, I was late to the bandwagon and I could not put it down. I think I read it in like 2 days. But yeah, go and check out the Instagram highlight if you're after some new books to read. And yeah, that's about it for what I've been enjoying. Something that I have been really trying to focus on is prioritizing myself. Only in the last probably week and a half, because I've been really, really sick. I thought daycare bugs were going to be finished after a year of Ollie being at daycare last year. They're not. They are back with absolute vengeance. It's been about 7 weeks that Aaron and I have both been really sick for.
We didn't get tested for it, but RSV was going around the daycare. We had gastro twice. We got the flu. It just has not been an enjoyable time in our household, to the point where I actually said to my coach the other day, I feel like our house needs a cleanse because the vibe is just not, it's just not a vibe at our house at the moment. So I found also that because I was so sick, I didn't have an appetite. I just wasn't feeling well at all. I had no energy. Lila went through her 4-month regression, which she's now 8 months old, and it's been 4 months that she has not been sleeping well for. She was teething. She went through a regression. She was teething. Now she's in her 8-month regression. It's just, I've been so sleep deprived, and it was really kind of just before this that I started to get clear on my postnatal depression as well. So I just feel like it was just one thing after the other for probably the last like 3 or 4 months really. And it just all started to pile up and felt like a lot. And I just fell into some bad habits. I wasn't eating well. I was back into that habit of just like eating the leftovers of what was like on Ollie's plate or what Lila hadn't eaten. I wasn't exercising because I literally just, there was days that I was having two naps. Like I would have a morning nap when Lila had her nap. And I would set my alarm, even if it was just like 20 minutes, I'd set my alarm and then be like, right, what else do I need to do for work? Because it was like my brain just was not functioning. And then I was having an afternoon nap on some days as well. And I just wasn't myself. So I have gotten back into the last like week and a half really focusing on me, but in small ways. So like, how am I nourishing my body with every meal? Like one of the really, really good tips that my naturopath taught me last year was every single meal, like don't worry so much about like overall what your meals look like, because that can feel overwhelming. Just focus on every single meal. Is there something healthy or nourishing in that meal? So like have toast if you want to have toast, or like have, I don't know, Cheerios or Fruit Loops or Cocoa Pops, whatever. But add something else into that meal as well that is nourishing, that you know there's like good vitamins and minerals, and it's replenishing your body with nutrients that it is lacking. So that was really something that I was like, yeah, I can do that. That's just focusing on one meal at a time then. So that's something I've gotten back into. This week I've started to move my body again, and oh my God. So I did the postpartum transform program and level one program before I got sick. And so when I was like, I want to get back into moving my body again, I'm actually feeling like I've got energy and I'm feeling really good this week, I was going to start level two. And I was like, I think I'm trying to push myself a little bit too hard. Let's just start with level one for like a week or two and see how I go. And then if I want to up it to level two, I'll do that. I've done 2 days of level one, and literally I could not walk properly last night when I had to get up and go to the cot to feed Lila. My bum, my legs, like my arms, my shoulders, just everything was hurting. And it was like, this is so good. Like the satisfaction of like, I'm back into really working on becoming a stronger and healthier version of myself is so satisfying. But also like the reassurance that like, okay, level one is enough for you right now is also really good. So I'm loving that. I do have a discount code for the Transform program as well. So if you're interested, jump over onto my Instagram and all my discount codes are over there in my bio for you. I've also really been trying to focus on hydration because my milk supply has been so low this whole entire phase with Lila, like newborn and all the way up this last 8 months. So hydration is something that has been really, really important to me, and just rest. Like I'm not really someone that allows myself the time to rest and not feel guilty about it. But it's something that both Aaron and I have really had to lean into the last 7 weeks. And look, it was frustrating at times, but we got there. Something else that I've been doing to prioritize myself is I've been booking in for regular haircuts, not actually getting my hair colored, but I've got short hair again and I love it. But I find that it gets quite irritating quite quickly because I don't like it when it starts to like tuck into the back of my collars and things like that. So I've been booking in probably once every 2 months to get a trim, and it's just like, there's just something about seeing a haircut booked in for your week, and like I might stop in and get like a decaf coffee on the way, or like make myself a cup of tea and drink that in my car on the way there. I might just go and like listen to a podcast and go and sit down at the waterfront or at the beach after I finish for like 10 minutes and then go back home. It's my time, you know? And something else that I did 2 weekends ago, because I really did not feel like doing our meal planning and food shopping, was I went and got my nails done. So I went and sat down, I got a pedicure, and I did all of my meal planning. I took my notebook, did my whole click and collect shop. And I just felt like this is time for me, but it's also doing things that I'm finding really monotonous at the moment that I don't want to do. So that is actually called habit stacking. And look, like, I'm not going to go and spend my money on getting my nails done every single week so that I can be doing something that feels good and getting tasks done that I can't be bothered doing. But it's just like a little treat yourself thing every now and then, you know? So I really enjoyed that. What else have I been doing? I've been identifying what I feel is lacking and taking action, like actually doing something about it. So I feel like I've just been really trying to be responsible for me, I guess, is the best way that I can explain it. I just think I realized, like, you know, Aaron started his own business and he's so busy. Like, he's out doing quotes nearly every afternoon. And then when he gets home, he's got to actually like do all the figures for them, draw them up, get back to people, chase up companies. Like, it's just, he has so much going on that I realized like I was relying on him for so much, especially when I was really struggling with my mental health. So I think it's been really important for me just to try to be responsible for me and not rely on other people to fix things, you know, like actually kind of question, well, what can I do here? What would feel good for me in this instance? So that's been really, really great. I guess following on from that, my postnatal depression diagnosis and anxiety, which, you know, I think looking back at it is probably something that I struggled with Ollie as well, without actually properly being diagnosed and putting a label on it. And I don't know that I can really pinpoint the exact moment that that things started to go downhill for me again after I had had Lila, but I think it was just such a combination of things for me, like going back into that sleep deprivation. Ollie was only 19 months old when Lila was born, and I think it was just such a huge shift for him. So trying to hold the emotional space for him to navigate that and the changes that were happening in our household, as well as I wasn't able to breastfeed Lila for the first 3 weeks of her life because, well, what we have found out is that she has a tongue tie, and we know that now, but I didn't know that at the time. And it was excruciating to feed her. Like, I'm talking worse than childbirth, and I am not over exaggerating when I say that. So there was just a lot to be navigating in the first like month or two of Lila's life, which I found very difficult. And just the general holding space of other people's emotions and trying to learn, how do I navigate toddler feelings and emotions? What's the language that I should be using around all of this? And oh my gosh, it just felt like a lot. And I noticed, so the things that I started to notice within myself, the biggest thing for me was I was not looking forward to Christmas. I didn't even care that it was going to be Christmas. And I started to notice this in about like October, definitely in November. If you know me personally, you will know I am... Christmas is the best time of the year. Like, you can hear how I talk about it now. Like, I get excited thinking about Christmas this year and it's only March. Like, I fucking love Christmas. I just, the vibe, the whole, like, I start our Christmas decorations in October because I want that vibe to hang around in my house and in within me for as long as possible. Like, give me the Christmas music. If I'm in a bad mood, I'll put on my Christmas music playlist. Like, Christmas is my time of year. I love catching up. I love the connection with friends. I love the connection with my family. It's probably the only time in the year that I really get quality time with everybody in my family and extended family, and I'm obsessed. I love it. So Yeah, I didn't care that it was Christmas. I wasn't looking forward to it. I wasn't listening to Christmas songs. That was the biggest moment for me where I was like, I think something might be off because this is very unlike me. It was very uncharacteristic. Following on from that, I just noticed, like, I didn't feel happy. And I also got to the point that I was like, I actually don't know how to feel happy again. I was trying all of my tools. I was doing my coaching sessions, like, but it just, I was in this funk and it felt like I was just underwater and I could not get back up. I was crying at least 10 times every single day, and I'm not even over exaggerating. The smallest of things now when I look back at it would just tip me over the edge. I was so emotional. I was sad all the time. I was taking everything personally. I was so insecure. I was a shell of me. And I started to talk about it with Aaron about a week before I went to the doctors. And he was like, look, I haven't really known how to talk to you about this. And I know you had a really hard time after Ollie, and I was hoping that it would pass, but I don't know how to help you. I don't know what to do. Like, you need to tell me how to help you because I don't know. And I broke down and I said, I don't know. I'm trying so many things and I feel like I've been trying for months now and I cannot get myself out of this and I think I need to go to the doctors. One of my beautiful, amazing best friends had actually encouraged me because she noticed that she was feeling similar-ish. And she was probably the turning point for me. She gave me a phone call and she said, Amy, you need to go to the doctor. This has been life-changing for me and I'm on medication and I think that it might help you too. And I am so grateful to her for saying that to me because it was probably the first moment that I actually thought, okay, maybe I will. I don't know. I feel like I had a bit of a stigma in my mind. Like, I work in the mental health space. This is what I help my clients with. I shouldn't be struggling with this because I'm a coach, you know? So I think it just hadn't crossed my mind until she mentioned it. And then I went onto the Panda website and I did the questionnaire that they have on there, the quiz. And it literally, like, all signs were pointing to, like, it's within your best interest to go and have a chat with your GP and see if you have some options that you can look into. And I just found I was the yelly mum. Like, I was yelling at the smallest of things. And I don't want to be that person for my children, you know? I want to be able to show up for them and hold space. And I'm not saying that I never yell now and that I don't get angry and that I don't have those big feelings and emotions. But what I am saying is that with the help of medication and continual coaching sessions and working on my mental health and my self-development, that I have a lot of different tools in my toolkit now that I'm actively using, and medication for me has helped me to think more clearly and to be a more level-headed and grounded version of myself so that I can more actively use the tools that I have in my toolkit. So I hope that makes sense. Let me know if you have any other questions. Like, if there's specific questions that people want me to ask, I can do a actual separate episode about that. But apart from that, Aaron and I are going really well now, but same, very similar to after we had Ollie, we really had to redefine and communicate our boundaries. We had to get clear individually on what our boundaries are, what we need from each other and as individuals, and navigating, like, what that actually looks like, what self-care looks like for both of us, and what time with our friends and time to just, like, recharge looks like for us. I think that's been the absolute biggest thing that we've both had to get really clear on. Because if we don't have that time to recharge for ourselves individually, we just do not get on and we're just, like, at each other's throats because our cups are empty. So that's been a really big thing. We've both had to really work on our time management and our priority management, with both of us being back at work and really busy with, like I was saying before, my clients and my admin and my content creation. But then for Aaron, like, he's quoting and he's, like, day-to-day work and, like, scheduling and everything. It's just, it's been a lot for both of us. And, you know, like relationships are always going to be a work in progress, but I feel like we're kind of out the other side of the struggles that we were having a little bit over the previous few months. And I think that also just comes with feeling more comfortable in our own routines and like Lila slotting in a little easier now. Like she's not a newborn. She's got her own kind of routines happening now that we're a little more comfortable with. So yeah, I remember after I had Ollie, it was around this 8-month period that I did start to feel like, oh my gosh, like I've got this, I can do this. Like I really started to feel a lot more confident within myself as a mum and a person again. I started to get my identity back a little bit more as well. So I feel like now Lila's around that 8-month period. I think Aaron and I both individually and together are starting to feel that vibe again with Lila too, which is really nice. But something that I did want to recommend that has been life-changing, I'm not finished it yet, but I got recommended by a beautiful friend of mine, is a book called How to Not Hate Your Husband After Kids. It's by JC Dunn or June Dunn, I think it is. And it is so good. If you're not into reading books, I haven't been able to find it as an audiobook, but she has done some podcast interviews. So if you search JC Dunn in podcasts, you will find some interviews with her and she'll explain. And I actually think she'll probably convince you to go and buy the book. I'm probably about halfway through and it's just really good talking about conflict resolution. She talks a lot about the mental load, the invisible mental load, like life as a mum and why that can feel overwhelming, overstimulating, basically everything from my Mum Rage series. So if you feel like you resonated with my Mum Rage podcast series that I did, I probably think that that book will resonate with you as well. So it's called How to Not Hate Your Husband After Kids and it's awesome. What I have found though is I really, especially after doing these really deep dive coaching sessions lately, like my kids at the moment are my biggest teachers. Like they mirror my triggers. And as uncomfortable as that has been, it's just, I feel like I'm doing so much work on myself at the moment that I do now find it powerful. And I find it really interesting now when I'm getting triggered. Whereas before, like a few months ago, it was just like, oh my God, I'm just exploding multiple times a day and I cannot deal. Now that I'm noticing and I understand why some of these things are my triggers, it's really, really interesting. So internally, yes, I'm still feeling triggered, but my reactive behaviors are so much less. And I just feel like I'm probably also just feeling a bit more comfortable in holding that space for big feelings and toddler feelings with Ollie and learning to navigate that. Like, I don't know, it's always going to be a work in progress, I suppose. But yeah, I guess like updates on the kids. Ollie's 2.5 now. So I guess he's like your typical, like in quotations, like 2-year-old. He's got some very, very big feelings and we're just trying to work through that. And it is a work in progress every single day. He's going through a very big mummy preference at the moment, which is, I hope, starting to die down a little bit now. But yeah, that's been interesting to navigate. He's very big on being independent. So he loves to make his own decisions. He wants to do everything himself. Again, it's all the typical 2-year-old things. But on top of that, he's just so funny. Like he's hilarious. His little voice, his little sayings, his little quirks that he has such an imagination now. He's really into imaginative play, and pretend play, which I find so cute. And just like, I don't know, it's just like, you are actually a human, like a tiny little human. And it's so cool. His bedtime routine is definitely still a work in progress. He has gone from, you guys, if you have heard me talk previously about his sleep being a really big struggle when he was young until he was 9 months old. And then we actually worked with a sleep consultant, which was the best fucking thing we ever did in our lives. And he went instantly sleeping through the night until he was about 1.5, maybe 2. And the last 6 months has just been really rough, really, really rough. Again, with that independence and just like, I think needing less sleep as well. And just also realizing like there's a world outside of me now. Like I don't just go to sleep and the world doesn't stop. That mom and dad are still awake. I still want to be spending time. I still want to be doing things. Like, Yeah, so that's a lot. And his eating has also really changed a lot. So he used to pretty much eat anything that I made him, which was absolutely amazing. And I think I took that for granted because I didn't realize how much it was going to change. Like, there's some nights he just will refuse, absolutely refuse to even eat dinner at all. And there was like, I think 3 or 4 nights in a row that he did that last week. And I was like, are you not hungry? Like, I don't understand. So I definitely find that frustrating myself because I'm like, I've just made you this food. Like, it's like, I don't know, I guess the trigger in me finds it a little bit disrespectful and a little bit frustrating. I'm like, I just spent this time making this for you and you're not going to eat it. But then the mum side of me and like the toddler mum learning side of me knows that this is all normal and I'm trying to work around it and work with it. Yeah, I don't know. I guess like, I don't really want to share too much about my kids. I know I do share a lot of things like with my life on like Instagram and TikTok and on my podcast, but you know, I am wary that they're going to be their own people and they're going to listen to these things, and probably watch these things back, when they get older. So I think that's enough of an update with Ollie. Lila, lots and lots of questions around Lila and, like just basically in the whole last 8 months, her breastfeeding journey, like I was mentioning, was really rough at the start. And I was exclusively pumping for 3 weeks. We had a lactation consultant appointment. So Lila actually had a recessed jaw when she was first born, which is why she couldn't feed properly. And now we also know she has a tongue tie. That's only been a recent thing that we've learned. So we're working on that. But it just makes a lot of sense around why our breastfeeding journey this time around has been so difficult and so different to Ollie's. I basically only breastfeed her now overnight and maybe sometimes, but it's definitely been dropping off the first feed in the mornings. Apart from that, she is formula feeding and having bottles and she is absolutely thriving. But don't get me wrong, it was a very, very big mental challenge for me to get my head around that. I think because there was so much comparison coming up for me with my breastfeeding journey with Ollie, and he never took a bottle. He just never wanted to, not for lack of trying. And he was just an absolute boob monster. And I think that set my expectations that it was just going to be the same with Lila, and it has not been the case at all. I have had not really much of a letdown for months now, and I think that's been really difficult for Lila as well. And like, they're just different babies. Like, they're just different. And that has been a lot for me to understand as well, and to really start to be like, okay, like, I see what everyone means now when they say every baby is different. It's so true. Like, her sleep, I can literally pop her down for her naps during the day. She has a dummy. Again, Ollie never really took a dummy, wasn't interested. I can pop her in her cot with her dummies and her little comforter with the dummies tied to it so she always knows where they are. And she will literally roll over, grab her dummy, put it in her mouth, and she's asleep. Ollie, never, like never. The self-settling I had to do with him, the self-settling I had to do to try and get him to link his sleep cycles, just like absolute worlds apart. And it's not, I have not done anything different with Lila. It just is really simply the fact that all babies and children are different. And yeah, she just lacks sleep more than Ollie did. Even with her regular night wakes now, she's waking probably 3 or 4 times a night. That's nothing compared. Like, Ollie was 12 or 13 times a night when we had the sleep consultant with him. So, you know, she's not sleeping great. And yes, she's in another regression and she's been teething, but in comparison to Ollie, it's really fine. In saying that, we are going to be putting her into her own room. So we're still renovating the house. We're getting very close. We're probably, I would say, a bit more than 3/4 of the way done now, which is really exciting. And her room's not completely finished yet, which is why we haven't moved her into her own room yet. So we're going to be working on that over the next few weeks. And we're going to transition her into her own room and see how that goes. And if she's still not sleeping through the night, then we'll be looking into getting that same sleep consultant again. So for those that wonder, because I do get asked about this a lot as well, we used Mary Ann Sayers. So you can find her. She's got a website. You can find her on Facebook. I'm not sure if she's on Instagram, but she just absolutely changed our world with Ollie and his sleep. And I cannot wait to have a night that I sleep through the night. Although Ollie might throw a little bit of a spanner in the works with that because he hasn't been sleeping through the night again either, but that's okay. We're working with it. I feel like that's just like my life motto in the moment at the moment is like, I'm working with it, or let's just roll with it. Like, I don't know. I just think what has come with my second time around and second baby is just really embracing the fact that like this is only a phase. This is going to pass. There is going to be a time when Lila does sleep through. There is going to be a time when Ollie is not scared of the dark and he is sleeping through. And, you know, just all of these different things that we're going through, as frustrating as they can feel in the moment, I know that they are going to pass. And I think that's just like that motto that I keep trying to remind myself of, like, I'm just rolling with it. Like, I'm just going with it and just going to see what happens. It's just helped me to feel a lot more relaxed, I think, as a mum. And just a lot less anxious and a lot less paranoid about things. But yeah, I feel like, look, guys, that's like 45 minutes of me rambling about my life and my life updates. I hope that there's been some things in this episode that you have found interesting, at least. Maybe there's been a few little things that you feel like you want to start doing for yourself, like reading, having a really simple morning routine. I don't know. Maybe there's some things that you have found interesting or enlightening around postnatal depression, or doing some things for you that feel really good for you. Let me know. I will pop, if you're listening on Spotify, I'll pop a question box up as well as you're listening so that you can answer any, so that you can ask any questions and I can get back to you with some answers as well, which is a new feature on Spotify, which is very cool. So I'm going to start to try and make my podcast a little more interactive for you as well, so that it just makes them a little bit more fun. And I hope you have a beautiful morning, lunchtime, evening, whatever time it is that you're listening to this episode, and I will talk to you very soon. Bye. If you liked this episode, I would love for you to screenshot and tag me on Instagram. You guys have no idea how much that absolutely makes my day. I get such a big smile on my face. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today, and I hope that you have gotten something from this episode. If you want to hang out more, you can search the Nourishing Amy podcast community in Facebook and come and join our group. We're talking all things life, love, overwhelm, and everything in between. You can share your funny memes, your stories, and all of the life stuff. If you would like to get in contact with me, please don't hesitate to reach out and shoot me a message on Instagram. You can find me at Amy_Rankin. Last but not least, it really helps to support my podcast when you subscribe and leave a review on whatever app it is that you listen to this podcast on. I am just a little independent podcaster, and every subscribe and review helps my podcast to be seen and heard by more people and to help more people get their sparkle back. Thank you again so much for being with me, and have a fantastic day.